everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. This may be, I think, the longest overdue collab of the century, but I'm excited to have Zoe and Hannah from Fan Behavior here with me. I absolutely love your show, your vibe. It's been so fun getting to run into each other at races and hopefully many more to come. But speaking of which, we'll all be in Miami this week. Yes. So we're going to be doing a joint meetup. I think I can say that. That's hot off the press?
Yes, please. Yes.
we're going to be doing a joint meetup on Saturday. Timing details TBD, but hope to see you all there. But Zoe and Hannah, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us. And I want to just say, when we were in Vegas and we ran into you when we were doing our hot lap together.
Oh, yes.
It was so great to see you there because I think Hannah was a little bit nervous.
I was panicking.
And we were all internally not okay.
A little stressed. It was late at night. We were a little chilly. And it was just great to share that experience with you.
Yeah, that was so fun.
That was so fun.
I would love for you guys to just introduce yourselves for anyone who's not aware. I'm sure that's not very many people, but just introduce yourselves, your platform. Who do you root for? Would love to just start there.
Do you want to do it?
Sure. So I'm Hannah.
I'm Zoe.
We have a Fan Behavior podcast. We've been doing it Formula One exclusively, a year and a half?
No, oh, no. Longer than that? We've been doing, this is our third year as a Formula One podcast.
Okay. So
but
what,
you guys
what do
started as something different.
We met studying abroad in London. We went to the same university, but we didn't meet until we were studying abroad and we were living in the same flat. And we had a girl I went to high school with is one of her best friends from college. And so that's kind of how we got so connected. Fun. And we were very much in our One Direction fandom at that stage. And I think throughout our entire friendship, there's always been something we're like really obsessing over. We're not casual about, I don't think, anything. And so Zoe started watching Drive to Survive and she was doing it kind of quietly by herself. And then she was like, okay, you need to watch this show. And then I did. And then I got really obsessed with it as well because we've been friends long enough that she knows the stuff I like to watch. And then we kind of just were having this, we kind of had a podcast for like 2 seconds when we were living in New York, and it was really for like our 5 friends back home that wanted to listen to it. But we were talking about starting a podcast again because we think we're funny and have a lot to say and that everyone else would want to hear it too. And it started off as just being about different like fan culture in general and different fandoms of like, you know, One Direction was a big craze, obviously Taylor Swift. And but specifically just talking about how the show and just like how the fan base, especially in the US for Formula One, just kind of shifted so quickly and just how interesting that was. And I have some theories on that. Like there's no boy band right now. Like this is the closest thing we kind of have to a boy band in this generation at the moment.
That's a great
outside
take.
Of like like the K-pop world, like which, you know, I know is very popular, but I, you know, we don't have a One Direction or a Backstreet Boys or anything really right now. Then we just found that we were just talking about Formula One all the time. We had a lot of bonus episodes where we were talking about the race or something Formula One adjacent. And I don't know, it's kind of one of those things like the content we were putting out was that with Formula One related did the best. Our episodes about Formula One did the best. And that's kind of all we wanted to talk about. So we made the shift. Yeah. And
we made the shift, I think, the start of the 2023 season.
Yeah.
Amazing. So,
and never looked back. And it's been great. I mean, it's fun. It's crazy. I didn't really grow up a big sports fan. I kind of just watched casually as part of like the culture of America. But Zoe's always been a big sports fan. And so this is the first sport that I've ever followed and like paid attention to. And well, obviously did a podcast.
Yeah. And who do you support?
Max Verstappen is my favorite driver, which I recognize is controversial. I can't say what it is.
I'm wearing my Red Bull Racing sweatshirt.
Oh, perfect. I love that. Yes. Wonderful. So he's been my favorite since the very beginning. Like even like Drive to Survive. I'm not just a bandwagon because he's a 4-time world champion. Mm-hmm.
But and you support
you're an OG.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm a big, like, I love stories. I support lots of drivers, but
Max is number one. For me, fortunately, Daniel Ricciardo was my favorite F1 driver. And, you know, that's obviously, he's no longer on the grid anymore. But I always say my top three favorites, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, Yuki Tsunoda.
Love.
With Oscar Piastri right in that mix as well. Those are kind of my four that I've always supported from the beginning. And I know we bond over our love of Lewis.
Yes.
Piggy. So that's great. And I think what's so fun about our show, what I appreciate is that Hannah and we have different favorites and we kind of root for different people. We like a lot of the same people, but mm-hmm. our fandom is different. And I think that's nice to show that you can be friends, good friends, best friends with people who like different drivers than you. Yes. A Max fan and a Lewis fan.
I know, it's crazy.
Together, you know, it can be done.
It can be done, and you are living proof. And
yes.
No, I love that because I feel like these days it's hard to talk to people sometimes when you have such differing views on whatever the topic is. So to be able mm-hmm. to talk about sports, which I think is such a unifying thing, even when you have different drivers, different teams, just to be able to bond over that is a very special and rare thing these days. So I think that's very nice.
Yeah. And I also think too, we always say this, it's important to acknowledge your biases. It's yeah. always yes. important to say who your favorite is because it does affect how you view a certain situation mm-hmm. or something on track. And we all have biases. It's inevitable when you are watching a sport. You have yeah. favorites, least favorites. It's part of it. But as long as you acknowledge it,
yeah,
that's what's most important.
Yeah, we yeah. have a biased podcast. Like, there's just no way around. We say it all the time. Like, there's no unbiased conversation.
Well, we some try. Of them.
But when it comes to, like, driver stuff, it's not really part of our
but
nature.
The reality is, like that, I think from a podcast perspective is what makes it so fun. Like when people do have strong opinions and biases mm-hmm. and they can admit them, I agree that that piece is important, but like we're not journalists, you know, like we don't have to be 100% unbiased. And I think bringing that personality is so fun. And I try to make sure to do that as well as in like, okay, I know I'm biased here, but these are my thoughts. And I don't have as many people to check me these days as sure. I used to, but we try. We still
exactly.
try to make it happen. Starting the podcast in 2023, we started 1 year before and we started like watching the first full season of Formula One I watched was 2021 and we were so spoiled by that season.
Yeah.
And then I feel like doing a podcast in 2022, 2023, now I just feel so lucky that we have competitive racing again. I mean, Hannah, you probably loved 2023, but like,
honestly, no,
else.
I mean, it's kind of boring. I mean, for me, yeah. it's like, obviously he's my favorite driver. I like to see him win, but I like watching Max race and like be competitive. 100%. Like he's such an incredible driver that when he's just driving, it's like, yes, it's great for him and it's exciting and it's cool to see like the dominance of the car, but at the same time it's like you're not really getting to watch him compete, you're watching him drive. Like I always loved yeah. when he like had to take an engine penalty or something and had to start like P14 because I was like, well, at least for the first two laps he'll be doing something. You know what I mean?
So, like that's fun.
Yeah. And so it was like I wasn't going through turmoil like Zoe was, because obviously my favorite driver was winning all the time. But yeah. it was a little
like Zoe was.
Okay, this is, you know, let's get some competition going.
Yeah, 100%. Well, maybe that's a good place to start. I know we're going to be doing a mailbag this episode. Listeners sent in some questions, some really fun ones. But maybe let's just start with thoughts on the season so far. I know we're only a handful of races in, but what are your guys' thoughts so far this year?
I think that this season has been a lot of fun. I love that we have a kind of at this point three-way fight for the title. I actually think, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this too, Tiggy. I kind of feel like it actually maybe, I think George could potentially get
yeah.
a championship fight. I mean, God forbid Charles Leclerc or Lewis Hamilton fight, but I don't feel as confident about that at this current moment in time. But it is fun to have that at the beginning of the season. We had it last year towards the kind of middle part of the season. Mm-hmm. There was some hope that maybe Lando could fight for the championship, but it was never really,
yeah.
I didn't feel like it was super in doubt about Max, you know? So I think that's a lot of fun. And we said this on a previous episode. I love that every team has scored points.
Yeah.
And I think it was
amazing.
One or two, every team scored points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is also, that's really fun too, mm-hmm. because I mean, how many seasons has there been where there's just been like, oh my gosh, this team is trying to get 1 point
yeah.
and they,
yeah.
you know, it's 100%. Really nice.
And what makes that so fun is that there are millions of dollars at stake for every place. And so just to have people kind of switching, even in the sort of midfield back marker territory, people switching positions all the time is such a fun situation. I was surprised, I'll say, that it was Alpine that was kind of the holdout there on the points
Same.
Situation. Like
yeah.
there is a question someone submitted about midfield and back markers like this season versus previous season. So we'll get into that more. But yeah, Alpine is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree on George. I think that's been one of my favorite parts of this season so far, is seeing how he's sort of stepped into that number one driver role and just blossomed. And the Mercedes car is looking pretty good, but he's doing really great things with it. And I think it's obviously still early in the season and we'll see about consistency, but I think he's definitely well within the realm of a title fight if he keeps it up. I think especially if you see mistakes like we've seen from some of the other people in contention. You never know.
Well, that's something that Zoe's talked about a lot. It's like, it's not just who's winning every race. It's like, who's consistently like up at the top. And I feel like that's kind of where George's role is right now. Like, he's just constantly up there and he's not really being a topic of conversation necessarily because there's other like actual battles on track happening, but he keeps putting the car in about the same place every single time and not having any, you know, mass freak out, which I think is really important. So,
I've gone on rants about this on the podcast of like justice for George, everybody talking about how he just sneaks in there. It's like happens to be on podium. Like this guy is a very talented driver. And I get that some people don't love him as a person or his personality or whatever, but I think he's crushing it. So
yeah, he's doing really well. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I always have to stop myself because it's like, we are so early in the season. There's so much still to play for. And if you had told us at the beginning of last season that McLaren was going to be potentially fighting for a driver's championship, which I agree maybe wasn't fully ever there, but winning constructors, I don't think we would have believed it. So
I know. I know. And it's crazy that, you know, Lando's first win last season was in Miami. That's where it started for them. And we've already had multiple people win, multiple teams win. And so to think about where we got to last year and the potential of McLaren, could have, I mean, I think it was far-fetched, but they were in the fight for both championships, having only won for the very first time in Miami. So anything, and Max had won all of those other races, and now the points are being dispersed a lot more.
A lot can happen in a year.
Williams Constructors Championship.
That would make me, I mean, you know, 1 year sometime soon. I'm so excited to see what they, you know, do. I'm happy that they're figuring it out.
Yes, agreed. I do hope Ferrari has a little bit more of a renaissance in the later part or mid part of the season. I think it's been disappointing. Yeah, especially Zoe is a Lewis fan. You and me both, I think, are hurting a little bit. But there's time. And I think we always just have to remember driving a completely new power unit that you have not driven in a decade and are like completely used to a different car, different team, different setup. The mountain you have to climb, I think, is a lot more than people give drivers credit for. So,
Totally. And, you know, Charles Leclerc got on the podium last race. So there's momentum. There's something happening.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will continue.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. Okay. Let's dive into some of these questions. Maybe we can start with the one I just mentioned. Who do you think are the midfield and back markers this year compared to years past from AfroTroy13?
It's a good question. I mean, Williams is definitely a solid upper midfield team. And I feel like for many years, they were sort of, there were years where they were the worst, but they were more on the low end. I think they are solidly a point scoring car every single race, which you could not say that last year. At this moment in time, V-Carb is very strong. I mean, what Isaac has been able to do this season has been so impressive. I do think Stake is the worst team on the grid, I think pretty consistently. Sauber, Stake, whatever. You know, Alpine, as we mentioned, they were the last team to score points. But Pierre has been putting that car, I mean, he's been doing so well in qualifying. And he's been on, I think, like, obviously in Jeddah, he was unlucky DNFing. So I think Alpine is still in the midfield. And honestly, Aston Martin hasn't been all that great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anybody else you want to add?
No, that would have been most of my list. And, it's a bummer. The Stake team, I just like feel for because I think it's not really, you know, that one has just been hard.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that 2026 brings them new life.
I worry a bit. I think there's a lot of hype around, obviously, Audi coming in, but we'll see what happens. I agree that Sauber has been definitely kind of the back of the pack for many years. And a new team having to figure out Formula One is no easy task. I mean, we can talk about that as it relates to Cadillac as well. But yeah, I hope for steak and Sauber's sake that they are out of the woods by 2026, but I'm not 100% optimistic on that front.
Yeah. Well, and we also said this too last week that I feel like you really get to know the midfield, where teams actually stack up once those first upgrades come, yeah. Because we've seen it before how a team can do really well in the first chunk of the season and then it was just sort of a moment in time and then they fall back in the order, yeah. Or the opposite happens and a team really makes a big jump. So I feel like once those first upgrades happen for the teams, we'll get a better sense of who's really a top contender, a midfield team, and then maybe kind of things will kind of level out.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And it's always weird in the last year of a regulations era because it's like they're obviously going to be bringing upgrades, but how much work are they putting into those upgrades versus 2026? So I do feel like it's going to be kind of a weird year and a weird season for the upgrade race and the development race, so to speak. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that.
For sure. Speaking
of Alpine, another question we got from Addy42. Thoughts on how long Jack Doohan has before Franco Colapinto gets promoted? I love how that's phrased as like a when.
It's
not
going to happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of how everyone's making it sound.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have, I think what the rumor was that he has 6 races to basically like get his career together.
Isn't Miami going to be the 6th race of the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's devastating. I don't know. I have such a hard time with it because I just think that that's a ludicrous timeline to put on a first time F1 driver. Yeah. But I'm not in this, you know, I'm just a fan. So I don't like I don't pretend to know what kind of things are at stake. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he's been a little bit unlucky. I think there's been some obvious like his fault errors. But I mean, we're giving grace to a over 10-year veteran of the sport who's driving a new car, and we're not really giving grace to a guy who just got here, which bums me out. But I also, you know, Alpine is fighting for, you know, more points, more money. They have a potential driver who can bring in a lot of money with him. So I don't know. I like both of them. So that's where I have a hard time. Like, I just have such a soft spot for Jack, but also we know we love Franco and he's great. So I could see it happening sooner rather than later, but I hope they give him a little bit more time.
I think I heard some rumors that maybe Alpine is actually they're happy with what Jack is doing for the most part, and or at least they don't feel so quick to pull the trigger and replace him with Franco. My feeling is I think he will be reevaluated by the summer break.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, again, what do I know? He could be replaced after Miami. But I think the biggest issue with these rookies is how often do you cause damage? Mm-hmm. And I think if he's crashing a lot, if he's causing a lot of damage, that's when they'll be really quick to replace him. But if he's okay, he's somewhat, and then he's had some okay performances, you know, hasn't been like lights out, but he's been okay. I think they might give him a little bit more time. But it's such a gamble too, because Franco was having he was fast last season, but there were some crashes. There were some rookie errors. So it's not always a guarantee that your replacement is going to be so much better than the guy he replaced. Mm-hmm. So it's a risk on Alpine too.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you think? That's where
it comes down almost in part to a business decision and not just a racing decision, which I don't know is necessarily fair, but yeah, the amount of hype and engagement around Franco Colapinto from his fans is kind of like nothing we've ever seen.
Oh, totally.
In the past 100%. However many years, which is crazy and I think really hard to ignore. And I agree, Alpine is not the Red Bull organization. I don't think they were going to switch him out in the first 2 or 3 races. But Flavio Briatore is also kind of a killer and he's going to do 100%. What's best for the team. And I think I'm sort of, I have one foot in each camp for both of you of like after Miami, he'll get reevaluated or maybe it'll be summer break. But I do think it will be this year that Franco Colapinto is probably in the seat unless Jack just like turns a corner and really starts performing at the level that Pierre is in that car. Because I really think you have to look at the performance in relation to the teammate, even though it's not fair. Like obviously Pierre Gasly is not a rookie and has a lot of experience, is a great driver. But in terms of what the car is capable of, that is sort of the benchmark, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, he has to be trying to get as close to Pierre outperforming him as he can. And we just haven't seen that. So,
yeah. And all the other rookies, for the most part, are, you know, beating their teammate every now and then, outqualifying their teammate. This crop of rookies have been really impressive. Mm-hmm. So he's also being compared not just to his teammate, but to all the other newbies on the block.
Yeah.
And that's tough when they're all doing pretty well.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay, one more racing one for now before we switch gears a little bit. But I thought this was kind of a funny question from Jacob Lane 97. Which would you be more stressed in, the second driver for Red Bull or the team principal for Alpine?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
More stressed. I would be more stressed as a second driver at Red Bull.
I think so. I mean, you have like being a principal, you have control. Like, you have no control as a second driver for Red Bull, because I mean, outside of what your performance capability is, and even then, like, Lord only knows if that actually matters. You know, I think stressful would be second driver.
And I feel
sure.
like just as a person, I would be much better as a principal than as a racing driver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can delegate, I can get people in the right positions.
Yeah. I can yell when needed.
Yeah, I can yell. Yeah, exactly. And I just don't think I could handle the stress and anxiety of being an F1 driver,
yeah,
but also a Red Bull second driver. That is, yeah, that is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no, and honestly, like, we've talked about it, like, Yuki feels like the perfect, because he's just like, at
whatever.
Least outward, he's just yeah. like, meh, whatever. So like, or he takes it seriously, but I think he just seems so like calm, cool, collected, which I know is like also the antithesis of who Yuki is, but he just seems very like relaxed in his current.
He's not as seat. In his head yeah. as some other, yeah. as some other drivers. At least he doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, which yeah. I think is probably good for him.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I feel like the way Checo handled the second seat in Red Bull, like obviously at the end, I think it got quite stressful. And I'm sure the amount of pressure on him when he wasn't performing was crazy. But I think the way mm-hmm. he handled it was the right temperament for that seat. So I think it really Agreed. Depends who you are. But I agree. I think this one's unanimous. The Red Bull second driver seat, I think, is one of the most stressful positions stressful. On this planet.
Yeah. It's like a poisoned chalice.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because you know? I think too, like, the narrative is that like it's the driver issue. It's like, well, okay, or we could maybe look at the fact that there's been a few of these second drivers and they're all having the same struggles. So maybe it could be something with the car. And maybe yeah. you could help them out a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, I guess that's what happens when your teammate is the best
exactly.
in the world.
Max Verstappen. Stressful yeah. place to be.
Yeah.
Stressful place to be. Okay. I thought this was a fun one to switch gears a little bit, especially because we're coming up on Miami and a lot of people in this space will be there. But Alicia Baginski says, would love to hear about the community of women in motorsport.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, it's so good.
It's awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
It's, and there's so many more of us now, which is so
I know.
Nice.
I was just thinking about this the other day, actually, how different it is when we started making F1 content, which was like 2022, how different it's gotten from then until now. Not only yeah. the amount of people who are making content, women who are fans, but podcasts that are now female-led F1 podcasts. And I think part of the reason we made our show when we did was because we felt like, you know, maybe there's other people out there, fans, who like the sport the way that we do, which is to say we like, you know, the racing on track and breaking down strategy and whatnot. But we also like to talk about, I don't know, what Yuki's photo dump, like what funny yeah. photo he had, or just kind of off track, on track, pop culture moments and stuff. And at the time, there were people who were doing that, but not as many. And now it feels like there's so many more people, which is so cool in so many ways. And I've always said this, like, we've made some of our best friends and just like interesting yeah. people that we've met mm-hmm. through this sport and going to races, and people I would have genuinely never had a chance to meet. And that's so cool. I don't know. And I also think when you get older and you become an adult and you have, you know, real life and you work and whatever, it's hard to make new friends. It's hard mm-hmm. to find the things in life that bring you joy that aren't just like, okay, I go to my job and I like, if you have a family, take care of your family. And it's fun to have something that is like a hobby that you enjoy, that helps you meet people and travel and just like see new experiences. Mm-hmm. And I feel like yeah. that's what's fostered in this community.
Yeah. I feel like, did you post this ticket where it was like the butterfly effect? Like, what if I never would have
yeah.
shut off Drive to or turned on Drive to Survive. I'm like, we talk about all the time, like, that stupid show, and Daniel Ricciardo is saying that he's a car mechanic. Like, we, our life has like 180 to the point of like, you know, again, like the friends we've met. And I think too, like, going to the races now, it's like, people are still exchanging friendship bracelets. Like, there are girls who are doing, like, who maybe don't have really a following at all, that are like trying to do a meetup of just like other girls to like make friendship bracelets or do something. And I don't know, it kind of, you know, it's a little cliche. It feels like going to a Taylor Swift concert now sometimes. Yeah. Where I just feel like everyone's excited to see one another. There are girls who are going solo to races because they know there's going to be other girls that are there solo and they can meet new friends, which I think is amazing. I'm always so impressed when people do stuff like that. But I don't know, it's just fun. Like, it really yeah. does feel like the boy band culture again. Like, as silly as that is, it's just like everyone's just excited about something again. And I think the way that girls are also, you know, I think one of my biggest insecurities when we got into the F1 podcast is that, like, I never really followed sports. I don't always know what I'm talking about. I've, you know, it made me nervous that we were going to have a sports podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that was also, as we talked about, it's like, well, but so are, there's other girls out there too, who, like, that's not their favorite part of the race, or like, they may understand totally. A little bit, but they're still learning. And I think that we're all kind of showing up as we are and like having fun with it and showing up as the kind of fan we want to be, which is like, Zoe remembers the times that they got in qualifying. I take a screenshot of the qualifying leaderboard so that I can confirm that she's correct. Like, and that's fine. Like, you know, there's a million ways to be a fan. And I think we're two versions yes. of that. And I yes. think it's just cool to see, you know, I just feel like it's been, you know, very accepting community and people are just having a lot of fun with it, girls yeah. and guys. But I think it's fun to see, like, we always just see like groups of girls of women who are at races together now, and I just think that's really fun.
I think so beautifully put, both of you, and I think that's so true. Like, I think there's maybe I'm biased, but there's no better sport to be a fan, a female fan, I feel like, because there are so many facets and because there is this wave, or has been this wave, of so many female fans getting into the sport at one time. It sort of feels like we've come up in it together and learned yeah. about it together. And whether you're into it for the racing or the personalities or the fashion or the social media, like, it doesn't really matter. There are so many facets to it that mm-hmm. we can all just chat about and have fun with. And there's something that's more, I feel like, integrated into the lifestyle versus maybe some other sports, where it's easier to talk about certain things and it's easier to bond over it with friends. And mm-hmm. I mean, social media, it's hard to discount how big of a factor that is. Like, no matter how much my friends watch Formula One or not, like, I have so many friends who have never watched a single race, but they're still like getting Lando Norris or Charles Leclerc on TikTok, and like, they're kind yeah. of bought into the cultural moment of it. And I think that's really special. And so, yeah, to have this community, not only of fans, but of people who have chosen voluntarily to talk about this every single day and like create content on it or make a podcast, is just so special. Because, yeah, when I was seeing that butterfly effect trend, I was like, it's actually crazy to think about. If I had never pressed play on that Netflix show, like, what would my life be like?
And now it's so weird.
However many hours a week have like changed my life to match and fit into this sport in some way, shape, or form. Like, it's crazy how those things happen.
It's so weird too, because it was just like a, at least for me, it was just like a random whatever day. I did not, I mean, that's the whole point of the trend, is you just don't think it's going to become
yeah.
what it ends yeah. up becoming. I was also going to say too, like, we are so excited for the Miami race, but then we're also just as excited for the Met Gala the day after.
Oh my yes. God, I can't wait.
To see
Lewis. God, and like, Lewis? That's,
oh. Yeah. And like, that's what's fun, is we love the racing, but then yeah. it's also what's going on off track.
Yeah.
What driver's doing this other thing, or.
Yeah. And there's only 20 of them. So it's super easy to keep up with like what's going on. I think that's right. The other thing that I've really kind of latched onto this for is like, I feel like I get to know about all of the drivers, you know, yeah. it's like, I feel, you know, there's obviously going to be some you gravitate towards and others that maybe not so much, but like, I can speak about all of them. Whereas when I watch football, I'm like, I know some of the guys on the Chiefs, but I don't even know all of them, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So totally. I just think it makes it, but yeah. Oh my God. I can't wait for the Met Gala. It's going to be so good. I can't wait to see who else goes.
So excited. I know. I wonder if there will be anyone else in the Formula One sphere who's there.
I know. I hope Fred goes.
That would be amazing. That would be iconic.
Fred and Charles as dates.
So good. The plus two. Okay. You mentioned Taylor Swift, and we got a question about this, about Taylor Swift. But first, before we dive into that question, which is Taylor Swift racing team to enable young female drivers through the Karting F1 Academy F3 F2 F1 pipeline. What are your thoughts on that? That's from Arenati. But before you answer that, please self-identify what Taylor Swift era you are.
Good question. I don't know. I actually don't know that I've really ever thought about which one I am as a comprehensive, because, you know, we all have our reputation moments.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say that that's my era. I think I'm probably, I mean, I love to think I'm a 1989
girl.
That's
what I was going to say too.
Yes. But I don't think I am. I'm honestly probably a folklore. Mm-hmm.
Love. I'm going to say 1989 because that would be my preference.
How about you, Tiggy?
I would love to say 1989 as well, but I might say Midnights, which is a little bit of a rogue take.
Yes.
But I really liked Midnights.
You know we should all...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We should all be speak now because we're on a podcast.
Yeah, that's a little too on the nose, though. Yeah,
that's true. True. But to the question about the Taylor Swift team, that would be iconic. I've always felt I would love for Taylor Swift. She doesn't really do many business ventures. She's not someone who's, you know, like a Rihanna starting Fenty Beauty or Selena Gomez with Rare. Like, she's not someone who's doing a lot of side quests outside of her music, but I've always wanted her to get involved in sports in some capacity, and specifically women's sports, because I feel like she has such influence over young women that I feel like it would be really cool if she became like a minority owner of a team, you know, Kansas City Current, if she wants to own
a or bring a WNBA team to Kansas City.
That would just be iconic.
Yeah.
So for her to get involved in racing would be amazing. I mean, we know obviously Travis Kelce is, you know, part-time
Alpine, baby.
He gave some money to Alpine once.
Full investor in Alpine.
I wonder how that investment's going.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he'll be in Miami. We don't know. But so that would be really cool. That would just be, I mean, first of all, the livery would be amazing.
Yeah.
Also the branding, Swift
the
Racing.
Branding, perfect. So good. It's perfect. I actually do know that her dad is a big motorsport fan, or I don't know, big is the right word, but he was at an IndyCar race, I think last season. I think it was St. Pete he was at, because he lives, I think, in Florida. So we know that at least she has some family who's interested in racing.
And she performed Dakota once during F1.
And she performed Dakota once.
So she knows. She's a little, she's aware.
Really?
Yes. I think it was 2014, it was the 1989 era. She was at
Wow.
Coda. Yeah.
That's a huge get for Coda, even back then.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Yeah. I know. So would love it. That would just be...
Yeah, I mean, I'm all here for it if she wants to spend her money that way, I think.
I could see it. I could see her starting to dabble in those types of things, like, in the next handful of years. Because she does have so much influence and so much power. And we know how many people tuned into Chiefs games who never watched Chiefs games because she was attending. So, like...
Get her on the grid with Martin Brundle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He better not mess up her name, you know?
Gridwalk.
Yes. Imagine.
Tyler Swift.
I would love to know, though. I would love to know if she's... I think she has watched Drive to Survive. I think she probably has, because I know she's watched other sports documentary series. And I would love to know who her favorite F1 driver is. Mm.
I know. All the Fernando Alonso rumors.
Probably.
And then
probably Lewis,
Aston Martin featuring in...
That's so true. Yes, one of her songs. Yes.
That was the funniest, like... rumor of all time.
I know.
Fernando and Taylor Swift, like, that was just so epic, and I just love that he leaned into it because it was so categorically false that legally he could.
So funny. I wonder if they had, I mean, I'm sure they had no idea that Aston Martin was going to be featured in one of her songs, but like, the timing was almost too good where you were like, maybe she's just,
I don't know, I wouldn't
aware.
Put it past Tree Payne, you know?
Yeah,
her manager's on it,
puts in the work.
She does more than Kris Jenner ever could.
Or Mark Webber.
Yes.
It's a more relevant reference.
Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from customer service to Formula Auto racing. If it's not in your industry yet, it's coming fast. But AI needs a lot of speed and computing power. So how do you compete without costs spinning out? Time to race to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus all your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. That is a lot of prize money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including Vodafone, Thomson Reuters, and Suno AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current cloud bill in half if you move to OCI for new U.S. customers with minimum financial commitment. Offer ends May 31st. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Okay, to bring it back to, I guess, some sort of F1 related thing, if you could make 3 changes of any kind to F1, what would you change from Princess Meg? It doesn't have to be 3, but if there's like 1 or 2 top of mind.
I mean, I, at this point in time, given the state of the cars in Formula One, the tracks in Formula One, I think there should be mandatory 2 pit stops.
Ooh,
per race. I just think there needs to be a little bit more. We talk about this a bunch of times, the whole like gamification of Formula One and how you don't want to get too gimmicky and start having all these things. You want it to be about the racing on the track, but we've also gotten to a point where I think a lot of, because of the cars and how big they are and overtaking is difficult and whatnot, that strategy has to become more of a integral part of the race in order to maybe make it a little bit more interesting. So I think a 2 pit stop minimum would create that intrigue. You have different drivers starting on different tires. When do you put on certain tires? You know, I just think it could spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes in Monaco.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mine's more of like I wish it was more accessible, like financially. Especially in, you know, obviously when we got all the races in the States, which I'm very grateful for, they're still just like astronomical. And I think it's just disappointing. You know, I think there's like a stat out there that like, I don't know, 1-2% of Formula One fans will ever actually get to go to a race. And that's hard, you know, and maybe they don't want to or whatever, like maybe they would rather just stay at home and watch. But I think when you see, and obviously they're complete, like, they're on different levels of, you know, like Formula One's just in like a different stratosphere. But when you go to an IndyCar race and you see the level of access that fans can have and like the paddock access and all of that, I know we're in a different security risk probably too. So I'm not saying that like we should just open the paddock to anybody, because sometimes there's like princes and princesses and stuff. And so like, it's not like maybe
like
an
us?
Okay thing to do.
Yeah,
exactly. but I think it's just, you know, it's so glamorized and I love it. And we have all benefited from that. And I'm, you know, I'm very appreciative for the experiences that we've gotten, but I do wish that it was a little bit more attainable for everybody.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I feel like that trickles into a lot of things, access for fans, but also I feel like Formula One is caught in this identity crisis of, are we a premium exclusive asset or are we for everybody? And I feel like they are kind of have one foot in each. And I even think internally, there's probably a lot of debate around this. And you have like the old Bernie Ecclestone era type people and employees within Formula One. And then you have new people who are like, we should open this up more and be more accessible. And that goes for fans. That goes for, I think, content creators. I was doing an AMA on our stories yesterday. And like, that was my most honest answer at that time of like, if I could change something about F1, it would just be like access or just like the changing the way that they approach content creators in the sport. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of us feel that pain, but it's a tough world.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we all cover different aspects of the F1 experience.
I think so too. But yeah, I mean, like, we're not considered media, but we sit down every Sunday and record a podcast for free about your sport. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Like, it would still happen without us, but also, like, come on. Hello.
It's a lot of fan nurturing. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the way I understood it is that the sport was kind of dying out and losing interest. And that's why Drive to Survive happened. And then you have this huge resurgence from a lot of people. And, you know, it's like, I think you could still do both. Like, we see a Wimbledon where it's like, there's all, you know, there's a lot of fancy and glamour, but you could still go to Wimbledon for £20. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to do it without and give people the experience. And maybe it's not the same experience, obviously, across the board, because if you only pay $20 to go to Wimbledon, you're not probably sitting in the main court. But there's a way to experience without charging $300 for a GA pass on a Sunday afternoon.
Totally agree. My other main one is just the FIA and the way that is run, and like the absolute crazy power dynamic and dictatorship type situation. And then also just the fact that we don't have full-time professional stewards who are,
I was gonna say,
it's wild.
None of that to me makes sense for a professional sport. So I think
that is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've just never, and you know, part of me, this is where I'm like, oh, well, is it because I don't really like, you know, I'm not a sports girl, whatever, but I'm just like, at some point, I understand not wanting there to be too much bias or like rigging of anything. But you have to have some consistency across the personnel. Like, I just said, because otherwise it's like what we were talking about, like the different rules when you're going through security to get into a race. And like, sometimes they'll let you bring something in, but then the next day you're at a different line and they won't let you bring it in. It's, I don't know. It's like when you don't have the same person mandating the rules, there's just too much ambiguity. I don't know.
Totally agree. Okay, here's a fun one. Suggestions for introducing a female friend to F1 and hopefully turning them into an F1 fan too, from Nicole D. Ooh,
well, I did this.
Well, yeah.
With Hannah. Well, I always think it totally depends on, this sounds obvious, but it totally depends on your friend and what your friend's interests are. Mm-hmm. Because if they're a sports fan, already a sports fan, then I think you can kind of go into it with the racing and the intrigue, the actual on-track stuff, because they're probably already naturally drawn to competition. But if they're not, if they're more of a story-based person, if they like the, you know, they like to know the people behind the scenes, you're probably gonna have to do Drive to Survive. You're probably, I always think YouTube is a great resource. And I think if you can kind of tap into who your friend may or may not like, who their favorite driver may or may not be, we all know our friends, mm-hmm. and we kind of know the people and the personalities that they might be interested in. You pick and choose a handful of YouTube videos, funny moments, whatever, and you literally sit down with them and you say, watch this thing.
Yeah.
And
tell me you are not entertained.
Send them a lot of TikTok videos. Yep. Maybe they're a book talk person. They love books. You maybe get them into it through F1 books. You got to meet them where they are and their interests, and kind of slowly wear them down to the point where then they feel like they have no other choice but to become a fan.
Yeah. Cause I think for me, like, if I would have started, like, there may have been a time in my life where there was an F1 race on that someone was watching and I was like, what the heck is that? Like, what are we doing here? Because for me, I'm a story person. So I want to learn about them. I want to understand, why am I rooting for you? Who are you? Like, what do you even look like? Because when they're racing, they're fully covered. You have no idea who these people even are. But also, Drive to Survive helped me because just knowing the story wouldn't have been enough if I would have felt dumb watching the race and not knowing what was going on. So I think that part helped me too. I don't like not knowing things and feeling dumb because I'm a girl. And so I think that helped like in the learning process too of like how the sport actually works and even just a few things here and there so that the first time you're watching a race, you don't feel totally in the dark.
Yeah. I completely agree with all those. Not a lot to add. I do think watch parties are really fun. Like if you can find something in your city or your town or whatever, even if it's like four people, just going to watch with other people makes such a big difference. I remember bringing my sisters to – one of my sisters to the Australia Grand Prix watch party we did at the beginning of the season. And she actually hadn't watched an F1 race before, like front back, and was like – whoa, now
that was
I kind of understand.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
She's like, what is happening?
That's the key is it has to be a pretty good race, too.
You can never predict
if you're introducing them to a, through a race.
Or show them an old one.
pretend like it's new. Yeah. They'll have no idea.
Let's sit down and watch Abu Dhabi 2021.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, definitely a little polarizing.
I still haven't watched that race.
Yeah, don't.
No, she should
okay, watch. Actually I should. Do, I kind of do because I kind of agree with the majority on that one. But
we always joke that if we had our podcast, then like that's what would have broken our podcast into two. But
honestly, same.
The universe knew that we couldn't handle that experience.
Okay, I have a Casey question for you from Arnotti as well. If someone were visiting Kansas City, what is your number one recommendation for good barbecue, Casey style?
Oh, I think most people would say Casey Joe's, formerly Oklahoma Joe's. It's very good.
Love. That's where I saw Travis Kelce once, so I'm a big fan.
But I mean, I like, there's going to be quite a few recommendations. Casey Joe's is probably number one.
Yeah. So, and let me just say on Joe's, you have to go to the OG one in the gas station and get the Z-Man sandwich. So that's the other thing. It depends on like what kind of food you like, but I like the Z-Man. I think that's like their tried and true.
Q39 is good.
Yep.
Gates is also good.
I don't love Gates, but that's okay.
And I like personally, I like Arthur Bryan's. It also depends.
Oh my God, ew. Not you. Like, just, those aren't my favorite.
Maybe we're not friends. On the kind of barbecue, it sounds weird, but the kind of barbecue sauce you like.
It's true.
So if you like more of like a tangy, vinegary barbecue sauce, Arthur Bryan's is probably more your vibe.
Which is why I don't like
If you like a sweeter barbecue or like a Casey Joe's might be more your vibe. If you're coming to Kansas City, you can DM us. We'll
Jack Stack's also. I really like Jack Stack.
But definitely, if someone's coming to Kansas City for one day, you have to get barbecue.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I love it's that. We went deep there.
Sorry. That was long.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones and it is.
It's personal.
Yeah, it is personal. Yeah.
100%. So. Someone followed up on that question because this was in our Discord and they said if their answer is not Casey Joe's, they're incorrect. So,
well, there we go. We're correct.
You're correct.
We've proven our authenticity to the city.
Yeah, no, Joe's is great. Okay, I didn't even know it changed it to KC Joe's.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Got it. Because for a while, it's just been Joe's. Anyway.
Interesting.
You learn something new every day.
I still have not been to Kansas City, and I'm dying to go. So hopefully
Come hang out.
I know.
Are you a football fan?
I am. I'm not like an intense football fan, but like I enjoy watching.
Who's your team? Do you have a team?
Well, I grew up in the East Bay. So the Oakland Raiders, which are no longer ours anymore, was my team. But I guess the 49ers I would root for.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, we have, our thing with friends in the F1 space is like, you should come to Kansas City when your team is playing the Chiefs.
Ooh.
And then we can like go to a Chiefs game together and like experience Kansas City that way. And it's fun.
I love that.
The Raiders, you know, play in Kansas City every single year. But if you're, I don't know if the 49ers are playing the Chiefs next year, but if you ever want to come, we would love to host you.
You're the best.
True.
We'll have a good time. Yeah.
Okay. Two more questions, I think. One, I guess this is a little more personal, but do you ever experience anxiety around filming yourself, sharing your opinions about F1 online? If so, how do you deal with it? And if not, why do you think that is? From Darren.
I'm only laughing because we've talked about that so often.
Yeah. So when it comes to the podcast, I don't get nervous about sharing it, sharing clips. I think I have a hard time reconciling the fact that we have an audience. It doesn't really like compute for me, which is great. And also she has to kind of watch and make sure that I don't say anything that might get me in trouble because I can be kind of a
She can go on some rants.
I can go on.
She can go on some rants.
But I will say for me, and I don't know what it is about this. I get really insecure about doing like Instagram stories, and when we're doing like planned TikTok stuff, I get really in my head about it because she's really good. Like, I don't want to mess up the lines. I don't want to cause more work for her because in our dynamic, Zoe does a lot of the editing, and by a lot, I mean all of them, unless she's out of town and I need to edit the podcast because she's a queen. And so I just, you know, I get in my head about that. And I really don't know why, because the podcast doesn't stress me out. And if we are talking to camera together, I'm fine. But if I need to do like a story or something by myself in my room, I'm like, do it 100 times. And like, I don't know. I just get really weird about it, which I'm trying to work on. But
I think something that, and I'm sure you've gone through this too, that when you start putting your opinions on the internet or you start talking about something you like, you know, people are going to have a different opinion. And that's because, as we said before, everyone's biased. Everyone's coming at things from a different perspective. And so it's obviously not always fun to have to deal with negative comments or people assuming things about you or saying things that maybe aren't true, or again, it's just a difference of opinion and they come for your knowledge, or, and that's just also part of being a female F1 fan. There's a whole thing that happens there as well. But we were just talking about too, the importance of when it comes to creating content. I think it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, how something performs or how something does or how many followers you have or views on a podcast video or whatever. And really at the end of the day, you have to get back to the essence of what you're doing and ask yourself, do we like doing our podcast? If no one else was ever going to tune in, listen, do we have fun doing it? If the answer is yes, then it doesn't matter how many people listen to it, how many people watch it. Same thing with making a video or something. If I enjoy making it, if we think it's funny, then what happens to it once it goes out is actually none of my business. And, you know, if even just a few people laugh and think it's funny, then that's great. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And it's challenging. Like it's not easy. And I'm thankful we have each other to lean on, or I can ask her questions if I'm stressed about something or anxious about something. It's not always easy. And I know there's lots of people in this space, social media space, that struggle with that.
And 100%.
So I don't know. It's hard. Yeah.
It is really hard. And I definitely agree with the sort of sanctity of the podcast sphere almost. Like, I feel there's a big divide in my own head of like the podcast and then social media in a way, because the podcast is, there is that sanctity of the fact that the people tuning in are people who have chosen to do so, versus social media, you don't know who that's going to. Oftentimes they didn't necessarily choose to see that content and they're going to interact with it in whatever way like they choose to. And a lot of times that can be negative, and that's just the beauty of the internet, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so I feel pretty similarly of like, for when we started the podcast, we were audio only, like made an Instagram to post like shitty Canva graphics about our episodes and like really didn't want to show our faces. And I think over time we started to do that more, just because if you want to grow in any way, shape or form, or you want people to like connect with you in some way, I do think that there's an importance there to doing that. But it's hard, and I still am not fully over like posting things sometimes and then people disagreeing with it or having like an opinion that isn't very kind or whatever it may be. And I think that's hard. But at the end of the day, like, it is, everybody's doing it. And I think what I try to remember is like, people aren't paying that close attention to what you're doing. Like, the person who's paying the closest attention to it is you. And 100%. So just like do it. Don't feel ashamed about it. Obviously try to be respectful and like put out high quality stuff. But if people are going to like it or not like it, it's not really your business at the end of the day. And so,
But it's I was also going to say too, that you shouldn't be for everyone, you know, like it's okay. We know that our show is not for every person. If you're a person who just loves the on-track racing and you don't care about all the other stuff, you're not going to like our, like, it's probably not going to be the show for you. And that's totally fine. Like, we like it a certain way. We talk about it for a certain way, and that's for a certain audience. And it's not going to be for everyone. And people making content, it's the same thing. Like, your content's going to be for certain groups of people, but it's not going to be for everyone. And that's okay. And I think when you accept that, or when you realize that about yourself, it kind of frees you up to say, yeah, it doesn't really,
it doesn't really matter if this other person, if it's not for them, because it actually is for these other people who really love it and value it.
Like, we put out, I think there was a clip where we're the new graphics on for the races. Can't stand them. I think they're so, they're like so weird. We went on a rant about that on the podcast, and Zoe clipped that one. And I mean, oh, these girls don't even know what they're talking about if all they're doing is watching the graphics. I'm like, or I've watched it so frequently that I noticed that there was a massive change in how my viewing experience is taking place. But thank you so much, Chad. I appreciate your input. Chad. You know, but so my favorite thing that happens, though, is when we're at a race or something, or like watching F1 in a public way, and there's guys behind us talking in some way, and everything they're saying is total nonsense. And we just look at each other and just like laugh to ourselves, because like, I'm not going to get into a fight with this guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, because he'll never, you know, like reconcile with the fact that he's wrong. But it's just really a fulfilling moment for me when I'm just like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So funny. And it's such a shame that there is this stigma around getting into the sport through certain ways. Like, I knew when I posted that Drive Survive Butterfly Effect video, like the comments on that would be insane. And some of them really were. And it's like,
that's the whole point of the show.
Yeah. Like, what
do you want us to do? Just watch and move along? Like, sorry.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It worked well.
Agreed. Okay, to wrap up, let's chat a little bit about Miami. There's one question. First time attending Miami Grand Prix, best tips and can't miss from Alika Yor.
I would say definitely go through the F1 Academy paddock.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the best things about Miami is you can go and see all the cars, check out their liveries, because F1 Academy has the best liveries. And you might see the drivers, the teams working on the cars. It's kind of the only way you can get really up close and personal with cars that are going to be on track and people working on cars, because you obviously aren't going to be up close and personal in the F1, you know, spaces. So that's a definite for sure. I think we talked about this. The stadium is really cool that everyone can access the stadium and use it for shade, use it for a little bit of rest. You can go, as we said before, nice bathrooms, you can get food. You can also sit and watch the different things going on track in the stadium, which is nice. And you can also see the paddock, and you can watch the drivers. It is fun, like, to kind of see them going from hospitality
to hospitality,
or you see someone getting interviewed, or you're kind of like, oh, who is that coming out of? You know, it's
because they don't let you close enough to like see their face, but you can figure out who it is.
If your zoom on your camera is really good, you might be able to get some good content. But I think that's cool. And that kind of sets Miami apart from other racetracks, is that access and being able to see that. And the fact that you can, if you have a grandstand ticket, but we have campus passes or whatever, you can still spend time with your friends and hang out with people. It's nice when you can kind of be around lots of people.
Yeah. Agreed. I think those are great tips. The stadium is fun, and the circuit is like really cool. It doesn't actually go through the stadium, but it loops around it, so you can see so much. And what I love about Miami is that it's really a specifically designed track to ideally provide great racing, and especially in this modern F1 car that's quite big that we were chatting about. So it's sort of like the hybrid street circuit vibe, which is really fun. And Miami just generally is such a blast. Like, if you're around South Beach during the weekend, there are so many different pop-ups and events and places to go and things to see, and even just going to the beach and trying to remember that F1 is fun, but like also you're kind of on vacation and can enjoy the crazy heat, like in really cool ways. So it's a blast.
Totally agree. Yeah. And make sure to bring sunscreen and drink water.
Yeah. And we, and you know, not to shamelessly plug, we actually, on Monday, is the date tomorrow? The 28th. We're putting out our like Miami, like tips and tricks episode. So if people want more information on that, we have, all of that coming out, but yeah, it's fun. It's hot. You're going to get sunburn unless you put sunscreen on. And even if you do, there's a high likelihood of, but yeah, Miami's cool. I had never been until last year, and the city itself is awesome, which is not really news to many people, but
yeah, it's cool.
It's also, there's just so much buzz around it, which is fun. It's like, it's the first US race of the year. It's warm. The drivers are coming off, like, at least this year, a decent break after a triple header. So I think people are going to be excited and ready to go. But one thing we always do before a race is hot takes. Do you guys have a hot take or prediction for Miami?
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'll go hot.
Okay.
I'll go really hot. I'm going to say Yuki Tsunoda will finish in the top five.
Oh my gosh,
let's ride. That would be so
hot. I mean, some people might say that's not hot because he's in a Red Bull, but I think we can agree that's kind of a hot take.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Hot take. I don't really know. I want something fun to happen with Williams. It won't. I mean, Carlos is going to be at Home Depot, which I think might really give him like the I don't know, anger or, you know, some sort of energy. I'd love to see Williams on a podium. Now, come on. I'm not like so delusional.
Okay, well, you should say Williams top five.
Okay, fine. Williams top five. But I don't want to take yours.
Well, it's okay. It's different people.
Okay. Yeah. Williams top five.
I love that. Do you care, Alex or Carlos? Either?
I think I would actually prefer it to be Alex because I think the story there is better and he hasn't been there in a long time. If
you mean in the top five.
Yeah. You know, Carlos has been there, done that, but I think it would be fun. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. I really am just rooting for the team.
So. How about you?
I'm going to go Kimi Antonelli is on podium.
Oh, nice. We love that. Oh, that would be great.
Yeah,
that would be great. I mean, if we, you know, not to bring up past happiness for me personally, but, you know, lest we not forget Danny Rick top four sprint last year in Miami.
Ooh, okay.
So like things,
I forgot about the sprint. That's a sprint.
So like things,
too.
Crazy things can happen. Yeah, it is possible that, you know, you can get some outlier performances.
Yeah,
so
maybe Yuki will win the sprint.
Maybe Yuki will win the sprint.
Ask believe or see, you know?
My hot take when Yuki, his first race in that seat, was that he was going to outperform Max Verstappen, and that crashed and burned real hard, but it was a fun one.
You know what? You got to go big sometimes. Yeah, you just got to put
that's
it
why
out
they're
there.
Hot, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
just make it happen. Well, I'm so excited to see you guys so soon. Thank you so much
Me
for
too.
Hopping on. This was such a blast. And yeah, we're going to have fun in Miami. I can't wait.
Cannot wait. Yeah. Cannot wait to see you and see all of our friends, and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we are.